Good morning and welcome. Lord, help us to be fearless. Good morning. This is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. I'm Katharina Vitti, and we have Diane here from St. Francis of Assisi Church in Greenlawn.
Hi.
Welcome, and Father Peter as well.
Hello, again, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and listening. And welcome, listeners. And we love Jesus, and we love you, listeners. So thank you so much. And okay, so today our call-in number is 631-888-8811, and the text-in number is 516-784-6081. Again, please text or call in comments, questions. We love to hear from you, and we love to know what you have on your mind. And I actually wanted to start. There was a listener that texted in this morning, actually, in reference to last week. We were giving out free books about Matthew Kelly's Rediscover Catholicism, and I invited the listeners to text in if you would like a free book. And today as well, if you would like to text in, we'll give you a free rosary. I think a rosary is great. And so the person, which I would like to just read what the person said. I would like to congratulate you for your program. It's a great program, and you're a great and excellent host. Thank you for everything. You have a beautiful show. Keep it up. And don't get discouraged. You're doing great. And that just really lifted my spirits today. So thank you, listeners. And please let us know how we're doing. We love to hear from you, and it really means a lot to us. And if you feel inspired to donate financially, or please also keep us in your prayers, you may do so as well. We have a website. It's listen-up.net, and my telephone number as well. And we also have a TuneIn radio app, which you could get for free in the App Store, and download it to your phone, and you can listen wherever you are. It's a little green app. It looks like a little cross on it, and you could search in that app WGBB. It's like a yellow sign, and you can download it, and it's really great. Okay, so let's start. Let's get the show on the road.
Well, I invited Diane to be here because, we have the expression in the scriptures, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, and I risk embarrassing her, but oftentimes, when you have a meeting at the church and everybody looks somber and serious and is wondering what's going to, Diane walks in, and before you know it, everybody's laughing. Okay, everybody's laughing. She's laughing, and it's contagious. So the joy of the Lord is an ingredient that's got to go into the recipe. So that's why I invited her here today to share some of the things that got her involved in the church and some of the joy that she experiences while doing it. So Diane, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. That's so true. And what would you like to share today about the joy of the Lord, and just in your own life, how do you feel that the Lord's joy working throughout in your life and just in general?
Well, I think every day that I get up in my house with my children and my family, and it's just every day is a blessing, and I'm aware of that. And I know there's so many people in the world that don't have anything near what a lot of us do here. And over the last couple of years, when I came to St. Francis Church, I feel so at home there. Mm-hmm. It is such a wonderful place. I've been a Catholic my whole life, on and off sometimes, as the years went on. But Father Peter has created such an amazing place there, that there's something for everyone. And you walk in there, and it's just, it feels like home, and it's beautiful. And as the years go by, I find myself getting more and more involved in different aspects of the church that pretty much there all the time, but that's a good thing. I'm always doing something different, meeting new people, and it really does bring me a tremendous amount of joy, especially being with the children. I teach religious ed there. That's my absolute favorite thing to do because I just love.
Well, Daya, tell them what your professional background is. Like,
well, I'm a teacher.
Sure.
I am a teacher by trade, so it's just natural for me to be with.
But you're a kindergarten teacher, aren't you?
Yes. So.
And that's wonderful.
And you just have to love those little babies, right? Those little kids.
It's easy.
You just have to love them, right?
Yep.
That's like what it says in scripture. Bring the children to me and come as children. So that's beautiful that you get to spend time with them, and you're great. Your personality, I could just see you being great with the kids, and that's awesome. I know you said that there's.
Diane's really excited about our youth mass at 5:00.
Yes.
If she's, I think she feels deprived if she can't get there, you know. But she's often there, and you know, the music is lively and the beat is good, and Diane is right in there as part of the team, practically leading the show some of the time.
Oh, so is it every Saturday? There's a
every Sunday.
Every Sunday at 5:00.
Sunday at 5:00. It's a Christian rock music at the mass. It's a traditional mass.
With in St. Francis Church.
And it's awesome. There's a whole drum set and electric guitars and bass, you know, but it's still a traditional mass, which is nice. So it brings both aspects, you know, you can go and be and celebrate. It's really a celebration.
That's right.
Every week. You know, we try to tone it down a little bit during Lent, you know. But it's just a wonderful celebration of God and his love, and people, the young people in the band sharing their talents and
talking about joy. One of your kids was super involved, right?
Yes, my son James is a guitarist. Right. He'll be back tomorrow and for Easter. So.
And through him, you kind of got hooked into the thing, really.
That's what brought me to St. Francis. I heard there's this, you got to check this out, there's this great mass. I'm like, it's a guy with a guitar. But really, it's the real deal, and it's wonderful. And the children, the young adults that play really have formed some incredible friendships, and it's really been a cornerstone of, you know, my relationships over at St. Francis. It's what started everything, and from there I've just been branching out to other places.
Well, Diane and her friend Mike, who's an artist, collaborated a lot of things outside of St. Francis, but then we really were able to get them to help us with our anniversary gala, and I think they really made it. They really made it for us, and they're going to do a couple of other things too. So maybe you'll let us know about some of your other plans right now, Diane, for the coffee house, just in general.
Okay,
just in general.
It's always something to do, which is great. There's always. There's always more work to be done and more people to serve, and that's what it's all about. So I know a couple of weeks ago, Giovanna was here speaking about the coffee house that will be opening for young adults in the basement of the rectory at St. Francis of Assisi, which it is cool in and of itself that that's where it's, you know, that's where it's going to be. Father Peter has always looked for different ways to reach out to all aspects of, you know, all people in the congregation, which is great. So we're opening this coffee house. Hopefully we're looking at June 2nd
as our opening
target
date. Our target. We're going to be open. We hope you'll be there.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. You be there. How about that? Okay.
I think it would be great. You're mentioning the young adults and that go to the youth mass on Sundays. Would be great to let them know, and maybe even they could play and maybe at the coffee house meetings. I know we were mentioning about Christian bands.
Yes.
Maybe we can just kind of have them and ourselves, if we have any, like.
Well, there's a thought there too. Well. Yes, get them down for if not every night, here and there. And, Greg can be flexible about that. Our lead man there, he could be flexible about that. That's really a great idea too.
Yeah, we have one in our own backyard, literally.
We have
a Christian band, so that's a wonderful idea, and I think it would really it's a good way to bring people in, and it's a great option for people that, you know, don't always want to do the same thing or want to be with like-minded people and not be at the bars and doing the same old thing. And it's just a yet another space that Father Peter is giving to us, the parishioners,
right,
to create whatever
right
we really want to create
right
there.
Right. We're not trying to imitate anybody else's
right
program. Locally, in our Green Lawn East Northport area, there's an entity known as Samantha's Little Bit of Heaven. You know, it's on the evangelical or Pentecostal side of things, but it's a highly successful kind of improv place and a place for, you know, stand-up comics and musicians to come. And, you know, we're not trying to imitate anybody or compete with it. We're trying to develop our own little set of priorities and a way of reaching out, you know, from a Catholic place to our own young people and to anybody else who may be attracted to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea of it.
And I think there's a real need for that in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a cute name, and we just want a place to hang out, just to kind of relax, and that's a perfect thing. So
right.
Yeah. And I just, I know you said your son plays the guitar,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that inspired you to kind of be more involved with the church,
yeah,
right?
He's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's such a testimony right there, and music is so powerful. So
music really is. I mean,
yeah,
anybody
mm-hmm
listening wouldn't understand that, but it really, what did the nuns used to tell us? When you sing, you pray twice.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
So it's
a lot of prayers going up.
Yep.
A lot of prayers going up.
And it really, my younger son is an altar server at St. Francis too. Well, younger, he's 16 years old, but it's like real. It really has become a place for our whole family.
That's right.
To
well, did you say something along these lines that he just took for granted he was going to go to public school, but then through the Mass he got a little more interested in his faith.
Yes,
and
he did.
And he began to think about going to St. Anthony's as a place where he would learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't originally on your database, but you got it on your database, and he's doing well over there.
He's doing awesome there. Yeah. He loves it, and it was his idea. He went to public school up till 8th grade, and then he decided he wanted to go to Catholic school, and I can't say that don't think that the Holy Spirit had a little bit to do with that. You know, like serving on the altar there is an amazing gift that these children get to do.
And then you got to go to a trip to Rome just to be part of it. Well, tell us just a little bit about how St. Anthony's, organizes these trips and what goes on these trips.
The St. Anthony's trip was awesome. My son also plays the trumpet in the symphonic band over at St. Anthony's, and every year they arrange a trip to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to go last year. He went as a 10th grader, and they took a trip to Sicily, to, you know, four stops in Sicily, to Rome, a couple of other places. But it was the children had 8 different concerts, and they were playing, you know, with the band in famous old churches, and I don't even have words to explain how powerful that was. Like, my son was in the Vatican at St. Peter's chair playing his trumpet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who gets to do that? You know, like, it
very
was
nice.
It was such a wonderful thing. And again, coming through, worshiping through music
right.
is just so incredibly
sure.
powerful.
Sure.
And the way that, you know, this year the chorus from St. Anthony's goes. So every year they alternate between the chorus and the orchestra, and it's really just an amazing gift and an amazing opportunity for these children and for the parents. They also run a shadow tour where the parents are kind of in the same places, but not exactly. So the students still get their experience without, you know, their parents on top of them, but we get to see them perform, and it was really an incredible blessing. And the reason that we went there, I really feel, is from his service at St.
Francis. So it's all had a big impact on your son's life.
Absolutely.
And it all started with our little youth mass.
With the rock mass, yep. It was a friend of mine saying, you have to come check this out.
You know, we're looking for a similar thing to kind of happen with a coffee house, that it'll all of a sudden, you know, people get interested and all of a sudden different things will be happening. You can't plan, but the Spirit of God knows how to do it. And God knows how to do things we don't know how to do. But we just got to give him a chance to do it. That's the thing.
And I think you picked the right girl with Giovanni. She's, you know, she's very spirited. She'll get this thing going, anybody that wants to help, I know she put out a call for help, to get in touch with her, and it'll be, it's just going to be fabulous because the Spirit's going to take over and
That's
direct
right.
us exactly where we need to go, and it's just going to be yet another place at St. Francis for people to come
and experience.
Exactly.
Very good, very good.
I think that's such a huge blessing, what you were mentioning with your son. You have two sons,
yes.
Right? Two sons with your younger son. And that's just so amazing as a parent, as him, you know, to be there. He'll never forget it. And just so close to God and just serving God, just being on the altars is so powerful. And you're so close. So
one of the things that's nice about our religious ed programs, you have a couple of professional teachers involved, including Diane here, but we also have, you know, Drew, Drew Lockwood, and he's an art teacher on the high school level. But, you know, I through the course of my priesthood, I've oftentimes approached professional teachers and asked them, I says, we really could use your skills in our religious ed program. But some of them who don't quite catch on say, Father Peter, look, I'd love to help you, but I'm with the kids all day. I need a break. Okay, I'm with these kids, it seems like I'm with them 24/7 as it is. At least I'm with them, you know, 8 to 4, 8 to 3, whatever it is. I need a break, so don't count me in. Don't count me on that. But when you have folks like Diane or folks like Drew, it's the opposite. They realize God's given them a gift, and they're going to use it. You see, they're going to. I mean, how could you have a sour puss on when you get somebody like Diane? You can't. You can't have a sour puss on. You see, you can't be feeling sorry for yourself or something like that. See, she just doesn't let you do it. You know.
That's great. Yeah.
Let the children come to me. You know, like that's
what the Lord said.
Exactly.
That's what the Lord said.
And it's he'll bless your sacrifice so much. Like it's a lot, you know, of time and effort, but he's gonna fill you with blessings and grace. And
he already has. And it's just, it really doesn't even feel like it's not a sacrifice at all. It's a privilege, and I'm really thankful to be able to teach the children about Jesus. It's huge.
And Father Peter, thank you so much for all that you do. I wanted to say that. I know you mentioned before, and thank you for being a great priest.
He's great.
And bringing people together and coming here. And well, I really mean that.
Yeah, the Lord is good. That's for sure. And when you stay in touch with that, you realize that you've been blessed, you know, at so many different levels. I just was looking at this little book by Father Benedict here, and I thought I would bring it in. Mm-hmm. Everyday Encounters with God. You know, a lot of times people are afraid of mystical experiences, or they're afraid of, you know, having to change their lives, you know, in an about face, do a 180 and so forth. And this book is interesting. It's Father Benedict and Bert Gezi, who also is a leader in prayer groups and so forth. Father Benedict deceased 2 years now, but his impact is still very, very strong. But he's talking about ordinary things. He's talking about in one of the reflections in here about how his grandmother was like a tireless tourist, and tourist in a sense. She dragged him to museums, you know, when he was a little bit bored with the things he was seeing, but she dragged him to the Metropolitan and so forth, and up to the cloisters in Upper Manhattan. And little by little, he got an appreciation for the beauty of art and architecture. You see what I mean? So he's using it. He's everyday encounters with God. You never know how God's going to use something that to bring you closer to him. And of course, art and architecture, we talk about music, art and architecture is another. Music, probably the principal art that is liturgical, but then to create the space for worship space is also very important. And there's another couple of things in here I'll get around to as we move through our hour here, but the everyday encounters with God. So you meet an interesting person like Diane. All of a sudden, you know, you have a little more hope, and you throw out a few ideas, and she picks up on them. And before you know it, you know, something's happening. Mm-hmm. Something's happening. And this is the way God wants to do it. This is the way, you know. It's to think of an example in the Scripture. Barnabas went to look for Saul. Barnabas went to Saul, had that tremendous conversion experience, went away to Arabia for a while to pray, try to make a synthesis in his own mind of Jesus and his Pharisaical Jewish background, bring the two together. But, you know, he was still perhaps not certain of his path, and he had gone back to his hometown. At a certain point, things reached a kind of critical mass in Antioch, where there was a lot of new Christian activity, a lot of people to be guided, a need for real shepherds, need for real leadership. Barnabas goes and gets Paul. He compels him to come back to Antioch, and then that's the real beginning. They have a little fallout, it seems, even. Okay, Barnabas and Paul. But you know what? The work of the Lord still goes on. Barnabas took Mark, and they went back to Cyprus or whatever. Paul began his second journey, an independent preacher. And, of course, the rest is history, as we know. But it all started, you know, when Barnabas said, you know, wait a minute. There's this guy hanging out in Tarsus. Remember what happened to him a few years ago? We better get him. you know, and he goes there and he gets them back. So, you know, every day encounters with God. So it was an important meeting. It's not even explicitly spelled out in the Acts of the Apostles what Barnabas said to Paul, what Paul said back to Barnabas, and so forth. But on the human level, we know it's an invitation given and accepted. And there's going to be things like that happening to us. You know, all of a sudden you're going to be talking to somebody about something. Don't shut it down. Keep listening, you know, and God will get into it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That just reminded me of what we're talking about today, just before the show. We're talking about different ideas of promoting this show and fundraising, and I didn't know that you help with the fundraiser at St. Francis, and you know Marianne, and we can all just kind of maybe do a fundraiser soon for the radio show and promote the coffee house. And mm-hmm. It's great. The connections are amazing. I love it. And
exactly.
And let's see what happens.
Jesus will always bring us the right people, right?
Yes. And Father, I just had a question. I know we're approaching the Holy Week, mm-hmm. and this it's going to be Holy Thursday soon, this Thursday, and Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. What ideas should we be keeping in mind as we enter Holy Week?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's nothing like, you know, were you there when they crucified my Lord? The famous spiritual that Tennessee Ernie Ford, those of us who are a little older remember him and his prime and so forth like that. But, you know, to spend time with the Lord, you know what I mean? The Lord, yes, and also when you think about one of the spirituality of St. Francis, you know, everybody, St. Francis is a person who's very well known but little understood. You know, he's, as well as he is well known, and he is one of the most famous, he's not well understood. You see, most of us shy away from the suffering aspect. As soon as Jesus began to talk that he must suffer, Peter and the rest of them start putting their arm around Jesus. You're getting a little depressed, Jesus. You know, you're getting a little negative now. This is not going to happen. You know, you got real friends here. We're going to stick by you. Baloney, they were going to stick by him. You know what I mean? But I mean, they were big on, you know, cheer him up, get him out of this negative thinking. You know, whereas Saint Francis understood that the passion was an integral part of what Jesus, and he wanted to know what his friend Jesus went through. He wanted to be part of it. That's why the Lord blessed him by giving him the stigmata. You know, so we want to be part of it. We're not going to get the stigmata in all probability, but we're going to get many signs of Christ's presence when we show that we appreciate what it cost him. There's a real human price that had to be paid for ourselves, a human and divine at the same time. A price had to be paid. So what did it cost Jesus to do this? And in the agony in the garden, he says, Father, take the chalice away from me. Take the chalice of, but not my will, but yours. Jesus was all too normal. He had a full, complete human nature, although he also, you know, in his person, he also had the divine nature. And, you know, humanity doesn't want to go through a death like that. I mean, he knew it was coming, and I mean, he was a healthy young man, and psychologically, he didn't want to die. He didn't want to die that way. That's for sure. Who would? You know what I mean? This was not a masochistic thing or a fatalistic thing. Even at the last minute, is there another way? Is there another way? And you know, the Father indicates that no, it must be this way. Then he embraces it and goes through with it. You see, so Francis wanted to be part of that. Mm-hmm. You see, he's wanted to be part of that. So maybe we want to be part of that a little bit too. You know, so let's take some time. Let's get some quiet time, you know, to, you know, cancel one little thing that's unnecessary. Spend some time with the Lord. Read the story from Palm Sunday, you know, through to Holy Saturday. You know, take little pieces of it and meditate on it. And, you know, it's a, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Let's walk with Jesus during Holy Week. Take some time. You know, we've done our Lent, let's say. Now we do our passion time, okay? We try to get with it as best we can.
And so would that be uniting our pain and sacrifices to the Lord this week especially?
Especially mm-hmm. this week, right? That we're all part of it. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all, St. Paul says it's mystical, it's, you know, because the sacrifice of Christ is complete. But he says, let us make up in our own bodies what's missing. And what's missing is the contemporary reference, the fact that Jesus died in time and space, different time, different space. How do we embody the cross of the resurrection in our lives now? How do we die to sin, die to self, die to our own narrow ego or our own narrow agenda, and rise up to where the Lord wants to put us, you know, where the Lord wants to put us. You know, like they often say when you talk about married couples, it's not me and him or me and her. It's us. You know, what's best for us. You know, and then that's the challenge of marriage, to get away from the individual egoism and agenda, to get to an agenda where we're both really working on this together. This new reality of a marriage and family that we have. So it's the same on the basic level. Let's find out what Jesus' agenda is. And it involves struggle. It involves sacrifice. It involves some pain. It always does. Take up your cross. Well, what does that mean? So I think really Holy Week is a time really to let all these images bombard us. And there'll be a lot of we'll get to Easter. We'll find a lot of unfinished work. But if we're following the Lord, we'll be in a much better place spiritually and with the Lord at that time.
Mm-hmm. I just want to continue on this line with, I know you mentioned Palm Sundays is coming up, is tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow is Palm Sunday.
And I always kind of...
Every pastor's panicking. Are they going to get the palms to us? Are these drivers, are these couriers that are running palms? Or do we have the Pony Express delivering the palms or something? I was messed up yesterday because they were late and all of that. But too panicky to leave. I wanted to be sure these things got here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they're here.
Yeah,
they're here.
Okay. They're here. Yeah. So, and we're going to be in Mass making our crosses.
Yeah.
While...
Well, luckily, praise God, that you know, people don't panic as much about the palm today, because they know they can go to when they go into the cemetery, the flower places and the monument places all got palm, and they made crosses already and everything. But the, you know, pardon the expression, the little old Italian ladies used to fight over the palm, you know, because there was never enough. But I think things are a little better now.
Yes.
A little better now.
I hope so. I wouldn't have to fight in an Italian,
especially a little old Italian
a lady for my palm tomorrow. It wouldn't be good.
That's my palm. No, that's my.
And we always have enough.
Yes. It's just so interesting how people were waving the palms, and then 1 week later they were saying, crucify him. Like, I don't understand that. Like, how... Like, why, Father, can you explain that a little bit? Like,
yeah, that's tricky. That's tricky. And there are different theories about that. But basically, it may not have been all the same people. You know, the crowd that was with Jesus may not have been the same people. They may have been people from outside Jerusalem who knew him from Galilee. You know, the scholars will come up with various things. Even some scholars suggest that the triumphal entry into Jerusalem occurred earlier, and this is like a flashback, that a poetic license taken by certain scholars and so forth. I don't know that you can go that far, but I do know that it certainly demonstrates the fact that there's a crowd psychology. But Jesus was willing to accept and embrace, you know, that level of adoration or that level of affirmation that the crowd was able to give him. You know, Jesus didn't insist on perfection. He knew these people were confused. He knew some of them might be fickle, might turn away. But he embraced it and accepted, let's get me on the donkey. Let's come in, you know, and let's not shut this down. And the one thing about God is he loves it when we praise him. He loves it when we worship him. You know, he knows how important it is for us to be focused on the one true God, and that he is the only one to be worshipped. He knows that, you know, that there's so many of the world, the flesh and the devil, are trying to propose false gods. So Jesus accepted the imperfect acclamation of the crowd. Jesus embraced it and went with it, because it was a stepping stone to something better eventually. So, but like I say, sometimes we can be baffled by the theories of the scholars. You know, they propose various things, and some of them stretch it too much, some of them get really into some strange territory, but fundamentally we can look upon the crowd as a representing human nature. You know, we've all hailed Jesus and we've all said crucify him. At the same time, when we sin, we're saying crucify him. Okay, when we're trying to follow him, we're calling him, you know, we're identifying him as the Christ, as the Messiah. And Hosanna is a victory shout, a traditional victory shout in Hebrew literature. It's in Hebrew, you know, praise the Lord, praise mm-hmm. the Lord.
Yeah, that dynamic, you really feel that, especially at this time, our humanity, our own struggles with sin, but at the same time praising the Lord. So I guess we just have to keep moving forward. And I know you mentioned last week that there's going to be a day of confession, right? Penance.
That's right. A day of confession. We'll, you know, that, so it's it was an idea that came about of us, I think, 15 or 18 years ago, that let's try to get the sacrament of reconciliation back on people's database, because because it slipped away. In the younger generations, it slipped away. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when every Saturday the confessions were, there were lines for confessionals. You know, all the priests would be there, and there'd be a little line at every one. Okay, and you know, and there were you could tell who the favorite priests were and who the yeah. who were I don't know whether it was the smaller penance or the yelling less or whatever. Was, but you could definitely know who the favored ones were. Well, that those days are gone somehow, and we have to deal with a different reality. But basically, that's the day of penance throughout the diocese. So the bishop is asking us to have priests available for between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. continuously for the sacrament of penance. And St. Francis will have Father Driscoll in the first hours of that. I'll also be there at that time, and then I'll complete it, you know, in the later evening hours also. But we will have that, and there are other times set up. All the parishes set up other times for confession too on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. So that's what we want to make penance, you know, a real part of Holy Week, kind of the crowning touch of your Lent, you know, the final step of preparation, you know, for Easter. You know, in the Middle Ages, people were not receiving communion regularly, you know, because there was a scrupulosity about that prevailed in spirituality, and so it was happening such that the church at a particular council, one of the Lateran councils, you know, put through what came to be identified as the Easter duty, that you must receive the Eucharist once a year during the Easter time, and then that would, of course, if you felt you were possibly in mortal sin, you should then also get to confession. So that was where that concept of your Easter duty came about. Hopefully, you know, with the reform of the liturgy, and hopefully, really beginning since Pope St. Pius X back over 100 years ago, people have felt more free to receive the Eucharist, more free to, without having to go to confession all the time. But I mean, you know, an older generation, really just having passed away or very few representatives of it, still remember the time that they would scruple about, well, I could go to communion two or three times, but I better get back to confession because, you know, in the last month I might have slipped into mortal sin and I didn't even know it. You know, yeah. I wasn't sure.
It's, I think that's a struggle, like having that guilt or knowing, okay, am I going to confession too much or not enough? Or like, I think that's just sometimes a struggle, like to know when to go.
That's right.
I guess.
Well, you do have the scrupulous penitents who come very frequently, but they're different too. You know, you can't just lump them all together and say here are all the scrupes and here are the ones who are a little too lax and all. Everybody's unique, and you have to try to, as a confessor, take each one as an individual and try to realize that there's a spiritual journey and a spiritual struggle going on in all of them. And some have integrated the sacrament of penance into that in a good way. Some are using it as a mechanical, a little too much of a mechanical approach to it. I definitely got to get there, but you know, it's not. They need to let the encounter with Jesus touch them on a deeper level. They're trying to follow through and free themselves of the guilt that they have, kind of like, you know, by doing something automatic or something, you know, almost a hand washing kind of a thing, you know. But no, the confessor's role is to really be, in the name of the Lord, to really be deeply understanding and try to help them experience, you know, true joy in the Lord. The Lord loves them. The Lord wants them saved. The Lord chases after the one lost sheep. You know, that they should have that confidence, and he needs to give them a confidence in the Lord. It's not our sins ultimately that important. It's the love of God and our embrace of the love of God. The Lord can wipe them out. The Lord can change things dramatically for us. Just let's make ourselves available to his grace and then respond to it. How about that?
Yeah, that sums up confession in a nutshell. It's not about what we did or what we're going to do, but it's about the Lord waiting for us in that confessional, waiting to pour out his love and what he did for us on the cross, and that we even exist and are able to exist in love and be loved by him because of what he did and died for us on the cross, and be able to have that joy of the Lord because we know, okay, I don't have to live in guilt. I don't have to live in my sin. I can, with God's grace, change and feel and experience His love and mercy, and that's great. That's just such a great reminder for.
So Monday of Holy Week. That's it.
Monday. So in 2 days from now, right, Father? Okay, the day after tomorrow. Thank you,
Diane. You had something to offer.
I just on the topic of confession, or as we call it, reconciliation. Now in religious ed, I grew up in the 70s with the confession. You know, waiting on the line, the door. You know, the whole thing. But exactly what you said. But we just had at St. Francis. We just had our first reconciliation two weeks ago, and to teach 7-year-olds. An 8-year-old about sin is a difficult thing, you know, because they're 7 and 8. What did they do? I think I'm really happy to see the direction that the church in general is going in by calling it reconciliation and treating it as a celebration and a gift. Like that's we have a whole retreat that we do right before the sacrament of reconciliation to try to help the children understand exactly what it is. It's not something to be afraid of. That it's you're going and you're speaking to Jesus. Yeah, it might be Father Peter or Father Scoria that you're going to speak to, but this is really Jesus, and Jesus is giving you a gift, and the gift is forgiveness. And isn't it exciting to go get a gift? You know, and they really seem. I've been seeing a lot less anxiety in the children, and I think it's important that we present it exactly what Katerina was saying, that it's joyful and it's about Him. And that's, I love that. I'm going to teach the kids that next time, too. It's beautiful, and it really is a wonderful gift.
I'm just learning right now that, thank you for sharing that, that the children are being taught that it's a gift, and it's more about reconciliation. And I think when I was growing up, maybe I just always kind of saw it as confession and more negative, like I'm gonna go tell somebody all the bad that I did.
Bad things you did.
That's essentially, you know, it makes you anxious, it makes you not feel good about yourself, but it's good to say it to somebody so you can, you know, not to have it be repeated, but also just emphasizing that it's a gift and that you're gonna experience God's love afterwards. Maybe it's not as highlighted enough, and so it's great. Thank you.
That really is important in the end, because the installation of fear, is a natural way to motivate people, but fear is not the best motivation. I mean, Jesus did speak about the necessity of making a choice, and that's we could lose the kingdom, but he wasn't into inculcating fear. He was into letting people experience through himself the presence and power of God. That's what he hungered for, opportunities to touch people in a healing way. That's why the healing ministry of Jesus is tied in with the sacrament of penance. Okay, it's spiritual healing. At the same time, oftentimes the Lord will do physical healing too. Not always, but oftentimes the Lord will do across the board work with the person too, and bring them to a better place psychologically, spiritually, and free of the sin that they have. Things stick with you. Things stick with you. Think about the so-called old days. There was a priest who, I guess he didn't realize how loud he was in the confession. And these old-time confessionals were like sounding boards that would reverberate. So one time, I don't know, for heaven's sake, who knows what the person confessed, but booming through the church was this voice: "You did what? And all of a sudden you saw people flee his line," and so forth. And then the poor person came out a few minutes later, sheepishly. So, well, whatever the heck it was, we priests have to be sensitive to the needs that people have, to be calm, and to be confident that we have a loving God. Okay, that we have a loving God. He's not, and it's not only on the Catholic side. The Puritan side of the Protestant tradition of this country, has also emphasized the punishment of God and so forth like that. We know that that's the case. So let's make sure that the real Jesus comes through.
Amen. And Father, I know you wanted to mention some things from Father Groeschel's book, right?
Well, it's a nice example. Mm-hmm. It's a nice example. Bishop Sheed is up to be canonized, and Father Andy Apostoli of Father Benedict's group is one of the people involved in that in that effort. Everybody knows Bishop Sheen is an extraordinary preacher, thinker, television personality, a very presence, but a many-sided man who did many charitable things for individual people. You know, people, you know, he did many things that would be off the record or not, you know, not immediately available. But here's one of the famous episodes from Bishop Sheen's life. Okay. During his senior year in high school, Paul Scott contracted leprosy. He spent the next 3 years lonely and frightened, confined to a leprosarium in Carville, Georgia. Newly discovered Sultan drugs halted Paul's disease, but not before he was disfigured beyond repair. His face had become an ugly mask. He was blind in one eye, he limped, and he had only partial use of his hands. Repelled by Paul's deformities, everyone, including friends and family, avoided him. Depression and loneliness impelled Paul to look for help in an unlikely place. Although not a Catholic, he secured an appointment with Bishop Sheen, who had visited the facility in Carville and shown compassion to the patients. "I've come to you," he said, "Paul, because I have no one to turn to. I haven't a friend in the world." "Well, now you have one," said the bishop. Then Bishop Sheen supported Paul in practical ways. He helped the young man find and furnish an apartment. He provided him with clothing and food. He encouraged Paul to take a job behind the scenes in a social agency where his disfigurement would not be an impediment. Bishop Sheen even had Paul to dinner at his home once a week, and because Paul had difficulty using his hands, the bishop cut his food up for him. And when Sheen was installed as Bishop of Rochester, New York, he had Paul seated in the cathedral sanctuary as an honored guest. How is that for a reflection of God's kindness in a human being?
That's beautiful.
That's a sterling, that's an incredible example of something. But don't we have an opportunity to meet a leper in some way almost every day? Is there some disagreeable person, some awkward person, you know, some person who doesn't fit in or what, that is in our acquaintanceship every day? Okay, I mean, and certainly as a pastor, you know, for heaven's sake, not that we're anywhere in the league of Bishop Sheen, but we meet these people every day, mm-hmm. you know, every day. So mm-hmm. we have opportunities. And you know, to not only meet them, but also to, as the this little book says, to have an encounter with God, in the meantime, to have an encounter with God in His little ones, in His poor ones, in His suffering ones, and all of that. So there's a great example, but there'll be many chances that we'll have to do similar things, in smaller ways.
And I just thought, if anyone would like a free book, that book, we can get it to you as well. Just
yes.
call in or text in. My telephone number is 516-784-6081. We'd love to give you this book, Everyday Encounters with God, as well as a rosary. If you would like either one, we will gladly give it to you. And that was just such a great reflection. I was a little confused because he said he had leprosy, but he was in the United States.
How that happened, I don't understand exactly. But he contracted a form of leprosy. I mean, it's accurate. It's accurate. Maybe in the South there might have been some strains. It's in Georgia. I don't know. It's associated with the tropics or warmer climates. Who could be sure? You know, a lot of diseases were picked up when they were, you know, building the Panama Canal and so forth. And,
it's hotter
down in there and so forth. So that's however it worked out, that's really the end result. When he met Bishop Sheen, that was the day that his life changed.
Yeah, it's a great reminder for priests and all of us to meet every person where they're at and rise to that and be God to them and die to ourselves, like what we were saying, die to ourselves and in practical little ways just make people feel at home, even though for us it might be uncomfortable meeting maybe uncomfortable people or somebody who's more sad, and trying to lift their spirit will change their whole day. And mm-hmm.
Oftentimes in our own cultural context, people are not so much as in material need or need of the most basic things that this young man was, but as you pointed out, people who are self-absorbed and self-pity and vague depression or riddled with anxiety, you know, we flee them too,
mm-hmm.
and we really shouldn't. We should allow ourselves to encounter them and ask the Lord, you know, Lord, what should I be doing in this situation? You know, because they're lost sheep too in their own way. They're people who need to know the love of God and to feel it in their hearts, and that's going to dispel, ultimately, to be the dynamic principle that will dispel all of the anxiety and the depression or the self-pity and all the rest of it that's paralyzing them.
So, Diane, I know we were mentioning before, you said that to live in the joy of the Lord, something that you do is just to be thankful for everything that we have every mm-hmm. day, just waking up and just thinking, maybe for yourself, you think, I have a roof over my head, a husband, children, mm-hmm. all these blessings are from God. And I think sometimes just those, recognizing those simple blessings is huge and helps me emotionally. It's impacted. Mm-hmm. I'm impacted in a positive way. And just, yeah. I'm just thinking to help not be so self-absorbed. Sometimes what I do too is look out to others who need help, maybe just in my family. I have to sweep the floor, but I don't want to. Just
yes.
Forcing ourselves a little bit to go that extra step. And even though it's, you don't want to and it doesn't feel great afterwards doing it, I guess in the end it's, you help somebody else. So it's, and in a sense you're helping yourself too, because we all live in a family. And
right.
So, Diane, you've done a number of things that have been exciting with your friend Mike, the artist. You want to tell us a little bit about
it's some? It's funny that you brought that up, because I was going to tell the story, and then I'm like, ah. But then you started talking about the lepers. We, a group of us had, about 6 years ago, we started a not-for-profit organization. It's an art center that helps children with special needs and veterans. And I know they kind of sound like two, you know, how is that connected?
How does that connect?
But yeah. we hooked up with an artist friend of ours, a whole group of mothers from the special education PTA that we were all involved in 10 years ago, whatever. We hooked up with this other guy who used to go to the school, but he was in his 30s back then, and he was doing work with veterans, like, you know, doing art therapy with veterans. And we kind of all joined forces. And we opened up this not-for-profit art center. We started in a little garage on the corner in Huntington, that gas station that was given to us, but we were able to
that
stay
crazy
there.
Place that had George Washington
yes.
painted on it. Somebody painted George on it. Everybody
yep,
knew
George
about
Washington
it anyway.
Place.
They didn't know what it was, but everybody
knew it was the corner with
exactly.
George Washington.
The George Washington gas station. Yes. And Eric Price, who is our founder, did all those murals there, and he's the one that we hooked up with. That if you think it's crazy, have you seen it lately? But we've been, what really drove us to form this thing is that, you know, Eric had the veterans in his mind, and we had the children with special needs in mind, and they really do have a lot of the same needs, you know, and we were able to, a lot of it's, 100% of it was volunteer back then and still today. And sometimes, you look, after working your job and doing other volunteer activities and then to go there, you can look at it like, oh, I have to teach this class. Oh, they're coming today, and now I have to go open up, and nobody's there. And or you can use it as a, look at it as a blessing to help what we actually did call the lepers. When we opened this place on, when it was in the gas station, we actually opened the door and we said, bring the lepers, to us. Because that, like, not necessarily, not obviously,
physical,
like theoretical
lepers.
Lepers, but, and every time someone would come in, and then we would, because it was a little transient over there. Now we're in the old South Huntington Library in Melville, so it's a lot more. We're doing work with the school district. We're a 501c3 now. So we've grown from opening the door on the corner to the lepers in the gas station to a legitimate charity that's really helping. You know, we work with the Northport VA and the South Huntington School District and the YJCC, and we do all kinds of things to help these people, these children and the veterans, find their creativity and find their worth and find something that they're good at. And it all started with just opening our hearts to helping people that were the lepers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an exciting story.
Yeah,
it really is.
We've been tremendously blessed. Like, there is no way that we would have done this without Jesus, and all of us involved in this organization know exactly why we are where we are. And it's not easy. You know, we fight to pay the rent and keep the doors open, but yet we still have to find time to give back to places like St. Francis and the other things that we are involved in, because it's just all part of God's plan. And when you help, it just comes back to you, and that's not why you help. You just do because it's what you do.
It's what you do.
And the blessings just keep on coming, and it's hard to it's hard to not feel that. So it's
yeah, when you stop and think, you know, Jesus didn't have to stop and think; he just did.
And
when it flows, when the love begins to flow more spontaneous, when you get used to it, it's like like you're in good physical shape, you're in good spiritual shape. It's easier to do good the more you try. It becomes more joyful too. The joy predominates. And sometimes when we're first starting out at a thing like this, it's irksome. It's irritating. You're getting on each other's nerves. You're questioning the whole reality. But if you trust it and let the Lord build it and let the Lord work with you, it's going to become smoother and in many ways. Not that there won't always be obstacles.
No, we know the Lord's that. Work That's part is, of the deal. But.
The Lord's work always. Somebody's always trying to throw a monkey wrench into the Lord's work. That's for sure. That's for sure. But thank you, Diane. That's it. That was a.
Thank you.
I'm glad we had a chance to share a little bit about that.
That was so amazing how you said that part, the lepers. And you weren't even, I didn't even know about this connection. So it's just so amazing.
Come Holy Spirit.
Yeah, And just trusting Him and just taking it one step at a time, one little thing at a time, building up. And that makes me think about this radio show. I'm excited for the future. Yes. And
sure.
And just wanted to keep building and growing and helping others. And just, you know, we all have so much to give. Sometimes we don't know it. And sometimes we, you know, it just takes a little one step at a time to grow. Yeah. And we don't even know we can help others. But at the same time, you're being helped so much. So it's amazing. Yeah. Sure. God is good.
All the time.
Sure, Dr. Praise Paul God. And Dr. Chufo had great ideas and so on, but we shouldn't be intimidated by their track record. Mm-hmm. We should say the Lord will do a new thing with us.
Yes.
The Lord will do a new thing with us in one way or another. And you know, but they continue to be inspirations, you know, in their own way.
Yes, for sure.
Well, I'm excited about doing some sort of fundraiser because I think the work that you're doing is beautiful and greatly needed. So if you know, we would love to help you out.
Oh, thank you.
And just keep the show going because it's a blessing.
Yeah.
To have you.
And Diane and Mike follow through too. They're not talkers. They're doers.
Love to come visit the nonprofit organization. You said it's in South Huntington.
The Spirit of Huntington Art Center.
Spirit of Huntington.
Spirit. Hello.
That's what it's called. It's
the
really
Spirit
called?
Of Huntington Spirit. Art Center. Yes.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh.
I know, because it just is, and our symbol is like a flame, but it looks like an artist's, you know, thing. It's all good.
Oh, great. Yeah. And it's open just on the weekends, or is it open Monday through?
Yeah.
Just kind of on a call basis, right?
Someone's usually there. Saturdays almost all day, and usually someone's there. Friday nights we hold classes, Thursdays, Tuesdays.
Okay, great. So. Yeah, so we know more the weekends is good.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we're wrapping up our show here today. We just have a couple minutes, and I guess we'll. I'm not sure how to end, Father. Maybe just kind of.
Well, just
a
to celebrate.
Celebrate.
If you want me to say a short prayer, I'll happily do that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Father in heaven, here we are at Holy Week once again. Here we are another time to walk with you along this awesome journey of your passion and death. To walk with you into the holy city of Jerusalem, the only place where a prophet, an authentic prophet of God and the Messiah himself can accomplish and fulfill the destiny, the gift, the call that God has given him. And so you enter Jerusalem, Lord, tomorrow, symbolically in triumph, knowing that the passion is ahead. Lord, help us be there with you. Help us walk with you. Help us acknowledge you and praise you with the crowds. Help us be shocked and awed at the fickleness of human nature and the cowardice of human nature as we see your apostles betray you or deny you or the crowd turn against you. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the generosity of spirit with which you embrace the cross. Oh, Lord, in another place you said, my yoke is easy and my burden light. And, of course, it was not easy. Of course, it was not light. It was the heaviest burden of all the sins of the world. And yet, in obedience to the Father, in the will of the Father, you accomplished it perfectly, Lord Jesus. Let us be with you along the way. Let us yearn to understand what it cost you so that we will not turn away from you lightly in sin, but rather have genuine sorrow, genuine repentance. And so in that genuineness of our repentance, we may come to know your love, experience your peace, and enjoy the victory of your resurrection through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you. Let's celebrate and keep our eyes on the resurrection as we go through this this Holy Week, and we'll try to head to reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I want to repeat it to myself, so I start knowing that. And thank you, listeners, for listening today. God bless you. We wish you all the best this week, and a happy Easter coming up. And thank you, Father Peter.
And thank you. Thank you, Katarina. And thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. Welcome.
What a good show it was.
It's been awesome. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thanks. God bless. Bye, everybody.
Christ has died. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ will come again. Christ will come again. Alleluia. 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 Christ has died. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ will come again. Christ will come again. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Christ has died, alleluia. Christ is risen, alleluia. Christ will come again, Christ will come again. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, Christ will come again, Christ will come again.